This is cassette number 2 of a message by David Ebal entitled, 7 Steps to Perfection.
Now it's your relationship with other people. Tolerance. All right. Can you be tolerant and let a Baptist be a Baptist? I want you to know that God wants Baptists to be Baptists. And there are lots of them that are never been predestined to come into the realm of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm serious about this. Because he has to have them. Are you willing to let a Methodist or a Wesleyan or a Nazarene talk holiness and that's all they talk? I mean, can you be tolerant with them? Or must you, every time you go to their meeting, stick in your own? Some people can come into each one of these realms of Christian life and experience, and yet maybe not get all the way to the last one.
But shouldn't you tell them that they can, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. I'm not saying, now look, what's tolerance? What's tolerance? Tolerance is telling them what's right, showing them the way, and leave them alone.
I also said that's what we have been doing.
I have a feeling there would be a lot more husbands saved if there was more tolerance on the part of the wives. Come on now, I'm talking about perfection now. Can I talk to mature people? Tolerance. Just because you don't like cigar smoke, you've got to remember that you're a Christian, that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that the Spirit is given you, and maybe the Spirit maybe overcame so you don't smoke cigarettes anymore. Why should you put your standard on someone who has not come to this? You have no right. They haven't taken any of these steps. And that man's got a right to light up a big cigar. It's his house, his money, he bought it. His lungs, his casket, you know. And it's his right, his life.
Yeah, when he's engineer of the engine, if somebody gets on that little engine smoking a cigar.
Well, that's tolerance in the other realm, too. this is a pendulum and it swings both ways, but I want you to see something. You can't put your standard on someone else who hasn't come as far as you. It's not fair. You can't expect... All right, let me give you another example. The rules of the state of Virginia are based on lots of Christian morals and standards of conduct. That's the reason the jails are full. Because they don't have the power. People don't have the power. We make the rule without giving them the power. Don't you see what I'm talking about? And in a lot of home situations, rules are made because one person gets the power and, you know, changes and says, well, that dirty old thing, get rid of it. And he says, what dirty old thing? He says, don't you know that fire sterilizes? Besides, the ashes are good for the rug. And, of course, the problem is when you're unequally yoked, then you got nothing but fights. And what makes the fight? The bad guy? The good guy. The Christian who's been climbing some of these steps and making the bad guy come up with him. He doesn't want to come, doesn't have the power to come, and couldn't come. Couldn't come if he wanted to come. Till he got the power to do it. Till he had some engrafted word. Till he knew his body was the temple of the Holy Ghost and he can't defile it. Can you see what I'm driving at? And a lot of your trouble is of your own making. Come on now. You are awfully quiet tonight.
That's the thing that's taking me into feeding too much food. Taking feeding too much food.
It's being intemperate, intolerant. You can't let them graduate from the first grade to the second grade, because after all, you're in the fourth grade. Boy, I'm in the fourth grade. What's the matter with you first graders? Come on now. It's the same thing. I've learned temperance. I'm temperate in all things.
Why don't you get temperate?
That means that you've learned temperance but not patience. Because you can't let the other people learn temperance. All of a sudden you get impatient with them. You see it? Can you follow me on this? Step by step. If I was you, I'd mark this scripture in 2 Peter, for it looks like a pretty good outline. A very good outline of coming into maturity. Of becoming a mature person. After patience, after tribulation, after learning to let other people be at their status. Now look, some people learn faster than others. Let them learn. Keep working with them. Now let's go back to Ed's question. Don't stop working with them. Keep the thing going, you know. But how about being a little peace, have some peace yourself while you're doing it, instead of getting mad? How about doing it in love? How about giving him these little tidbits and stories about coffin nails or whatever you want in love instead of gritting your teeth? You see what I'm getting at? In other words, we don't stop the truth. You don't cut the truth off, but you do it in a different realm, in a different way. Yeah.
How about a person that knows all these things and has information?
Well, what happened here is they got some engrafted word and some knowledge, but no virtue. Virtue is power. You got to have the power before you can quit anything.
What if they have the power?
Well, if they got the power, then they don't have the knowledge. Because you can't keep doing dirty, rotten tricks if you got power and knowledge.
That's what it is, the knowledge.
If you don't have the,
We got to have the knowledge sometimes to put the power to work.
Sure. Well, that's what we're saying about driving a car.
Glory.
You just got to have more engrafted word. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. You got the... Oh, ain't it awful? That isn't the worst of it yet, Susan. Because after we finally get patience, we come into godliness. And godliness is a fear, a reverent awe of the Father. But it's also turning you into a more perfect person, having the mind of Christ and being conformed to his own image. Now Jesus said, "Hath not the scripture called them gods to whom the world came?" And the scripture cannot be reversed. The word came and they're gods. Do you think it's wrong for me to call myself the Son of God? Do you remember Jesus saying that? Don't you remember that in John? You think it's wrong? Because I've called myself a Son of God, and the scripture says we're gods if the word of God came to us. There is a body of Christ in the end time who are going to come into this godliness realm, who are going to manifest attributes of the Christ, because they're the body of Christ. You see what I'm talking about? Now, every one of you have had at times this godly nature, because the whole thing, you can have glimpses of this, and every one of us have been at each one of these steps. But there's going to come a time, and I'm trying to give you a vision. These scriptures, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, will give you the steps the next time you're in trouble. I wish you'd try to find out. I'm lacking power. That's what got me in trouble. I'm lacking knowledge. That's what it was. Oh, no. It was I didn't have self-restraint. I had all those. I just wasn't restraining myself. Or maybe it was that I wasn't tolerant towards someone else. You follow what I'm getting at? And I want you to run through these, because most every time that you're depressed, most every time that you're in a problem, you'll find out the purpose was for your perfection, to show you what level you're at in that realm and what to shoot for tomorrow. Does this make sense to you? I've already decided that I'm going to make a little card and carry it with me so that I'll know what step I'm on every time I get in a problem. And the next time that dumb gas station attendant leaves the cap off my gas tank and there's gas spilled all over the place, I'll say, praise God, where's that card? Now let's see. Was it because of virtue? Was it faith? Well, I'm saved. Was it because of virtue? Well, I had the power. Knowledge? Well, I knew what to do. Temperance? Well, I didn't show much self-restraint when I got mad at him. Patience. Uh-huh. Thank you, Lord. Now I know where I am. No, but when I got mad, that was the problem. See, I got mad. I got mad at him. Yeah, that was the thing. Not the fact he left it off. It could have been the milkman dropped the milk bottle. Or anything else. Who knows what it is, you see. And so every time that I have one of these emotions, I pull out the card. Aha. Praise God. Well, it's a proof. It's a proof that God is working on you. Now, if God's working on you, then that means he loves you. Whoa, hallelujah. Don't you see that there is a generation of people who are going to be perfect? And how can you get perfect until you've played the piano over and over again and made your mistakes and said, that was a mistake, I got to go back and try that again? And that's what he's doing to your life, so that he can turn your life, which is havoc, into melody, harmony with his purpose. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to be a champion. I'm headed right up here. And every time I trip or fall, I'm going to head back and I'm going to start up this thing all over again. I'm going to stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Find out where the problem was. Identify it. How can you overcome the problem until you identify it? Suppose you're learning the piano and all, and you don't even identify the note that you're playing wrong. You got to know what you're doing wrong before you can do it right. Now, what did that say in 2 Peter? Let me go back to that again. 2 Peter. Verse 5. Besides this giving, what's the word? Is that close enough to discipline? Is that the same thing? It's pretty close? It's your diligent effort. I mean, it's not slacking off. It's keeping going and starting out early in the morning and keeping going till late at night. It's not letting off of this, but identifying where you are constantly and working constantly to get better. To come up this thing. Get on the next step, the next rung. Find out why you failed. Don't keep failing, but find out what you did it was wrong. And then start again. Praise God. Just say, thank you, Lord, for that last lesson. Oh, hallelujah, glory. That just proves I'm a son of God. Because he wouldn't chastise you if you weren't. Did you hear me? He would not chastise you if you weren't a son of God. He's going to love you. He's going to chastise you. And he'll even send tribulation to work out patience in your life so that you can become perfect. Okay. Coming into the realm of godliness, after you have learned your last step with each other of patience. That's one reason you're not so godly. You play like it. Come on now. But we're coming into it. Then you're ready for love. Only after you've reached this godly state are you ready for love. Two forms of love. Now this is hard to see. Because this form of love, number 6, is a worldly love. But it says that God phileoed Jesus and Jesus phileoed the Father. Also says God agape Jesus and Jesus agape the Father. Why did God phileo Jesus? Why did Jesus phileo the Father? Because he copied him. He said, the things that I've seen him do, that's what I'm going to do. You see it? So even for Jesus and God, there is a phileo relationship for it is a relationship of a father-son. And the son does what he saw the daddy do and loves the father and knows that that's what my daddy does and it's all right to do it. And I saw my daddy working on the Sabbath, he said. And so now I know it's okay for me to do it too. That's phileo love. You see it? He said, whatever I saw my father do, that I'm doing because it's phileo love. Therefore, as we come into phileo love, step number 6. This is not the worldly love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'll get you a job, you get me a job. This is after you've come into a godliness realm, where now, can I say you're mimicking Christ? Is that all right? What if I said imitation of Christ? That sounds better because it's a book title. What if I'd say following in his steps? Sounds better because it's in the scripture. It's being a Christian or a little Christ. Because you're doing what he did. And finally, you get to the final step, agape, or this love, where you can pour out to other people, knowing full well that you're not going to get the slightest, itsiest bit of benefit back. If you can take these steps and build your foundation stones well, you'll be able to get up to here any day you want to, any day that you need it. If you're haphazardly building and put a rock in here on patience and the next day put a rock here on knowledge, come on now. It won't work. That's the reason Christianity isn't working. Too many rockheads. Now, does that offend you for me to say Christianity isn't working? You know it's not working. Look at the world around you. We have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. We've got theories without facts. The time's going to come when we've got facts. And we're going to produce the goods. And I'm determined. I've made up my mind. I'm going to produce the goods. I'm going to take every one of these steps. I'm going to build me a house with the right kind of rocks and the right kind of foundations and the right kind of layers until I'm right on the top of this thing, having made all the steps. And it thrills me to find that Peter had the keys to charity. Then I have a little glory spell that it is 7 steps. I like the idea that comes out 7. The 7 things you add to your faith. 7 things. Have you copied it down? Okay. We'll probably be talking some more about that. I had wanted to talk on candlestick. But somehow it does appear that if Dave Ebaugh will say, Lord, I am blind, I don't know anything, then the Lord has a way of showing me something. But once I say, I see, I'm going to do it my way, Lord. Oh, glory. He has a way of setting me right back. Praise God, I'm blind. But praise God, he is removing little pieces at a time. And then I can see. And do you know what's going to make me perfect? That last day, I'll see him as he is, and I'll be perfect. He'll be the firstborn among many brethren, and he'll come over to me and say, oh, Brother David, oh, glory. Brother Dave, he'll say like that. I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ saying, Brother Ed? Instead of the condemning attitudes we have toward each other right now, and even toward yourself, and the failures, which is Brother Ed. Praise God. I would like for you to seal this with a prayer tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I'd like for you to pray this time with your eyes open and pray and say with me together. Pray to God in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, with your help and your power and the anointing of your Spirit, I'm going to add these things. And then we're going to say the list. I will add to my faith virtue. See what I'm talking about? Then I'll add to virtue knowledge. But obviously, with his help, with his power, with his anointing of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand me? Now, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And you're going to have to say these things with your mouth. That's why tonight we're going to pray. Oh, come on now. I see I got trouble already. Everybody knows you're supposed to pray with your eyes closed. You know, it says that right there in Hezekiah chapter 16. Jesus, lifting up his eyes, prayed, saying, well, we're going to lift our eyes on the Word right now. We're going to pray. Now, I know that traditionally you got to have them closed, but tonight you're going to break it anyway. And we're going to look at these words and pray with our eyes open. Is that too hard on you? Huh? Is that too hard? Now, some of you just can't pray with your eyes open. Well, if you can't, then close them. But I want a prayer, but I want it out of your mouth. Is that fair? We're going to pray, and we're going to use verse 5 and 6 and 7 as our prayer, that we will do these things. All right? Now we can start with our eyes closed for those who need that. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And besides this, we will give all diligence and add to our faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge.
And to virtue, knowledge.
And to knowledge, temperance.
And to knowledge, temperance.
And to temperance, patience.
And to patience.
And to patience, godliness.
And to patience, godliness.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And to godliness, brotherly kindness.
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
And to brotherly
kindness, charity. And Lord, we can only do this. Not by our might,
not by our
power,
but
by your Spirit.
In
Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lord, we see a vision. Lord, we see a path. We admit the path is lonely and narrow, Lord, but as long as you're there, holding onto our hand, we'll walk it. Praise God.
This concludes the message by David Ebal entitled, 7 Steps to Perfection. Please stop your machine and turn cassette over to hear end time music.